This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Now we will turn our focus to the standing, the politics, you know, the developments in the Public Service Commission. And I am joined by Professor Soma Dodafigeni on the line, who's just going to take us through. And of course, some of you might be aware, he was appointed to the commission for a 5-year term as a commissioner by the president a while ago. And he just resumed assumed those duties 2 months back or so. So let me have him on the line. And of course, you can be part of those conversations on 0861-987-000. Prof Fikeni, good morning.
Good morning, Lukhona, and good morning to your listeners, your producers, and everybody around you. And also, let me first congratulate you on being at the helm, driving the Power Talk.
Thank you very much.
And, from a humble village of Lubalasi, Flagstaff, West Park Lane.
No, you know my roots very well, and you've touched down on that soil a few times. So, ndiyabulela kakhulu, but congratulations on you as well, and you've finally now assumed your responsibilities. How is the change from, being at the driving seat in the Vice Chancellor's office of one of the biggest universities in our country, the University of South Africa, to now being part of driving this very important institution?
Well, my life has always been transitioning from one responsibility to the other. So I've had the courage to accept vulnerability of uncertainty during the change.
Mm.
So that is part of that. But I look forward with enthusiasm. I received a very warm welcome from PSC, or Public Service Commission. And, of course, I had to hit the ground running because I realized that there are so many things that had to be done. And you can also understand that my appointment from the 1st of February comes just 2 months before the end of the financial year.
Yes.
So there are so many things that had to be done before the end of the financial year.
Now, let us try and separate these many things that need to be done. Let's first probably look within in-house issues of the commission. What are some of the things you believe need to happen to try and reposition the commission in a way that, one, it is not as invisible as it is at times? You know, sometimes the commission really comes to the public light only when it is tabling some report that then shocks us about the state of the public service in one way or the other. So what is it that you think internally needs to be done before we probably look at some of the work the commission has to do in trying to interrogate the efficiencies or lack thereof within the state itself?
Well, the first thing which I presented during my interview in Parliament, but also as I joined my colleagues at the PSC during plenary, is the issue of communication and publicity. Many people tend to know the Chapter 9 institutions, your public protector, IEC, Human Rights Commission, and so forth.
Mm.
But they hardly ever know that there is a dedicated Chapter 10 to Public Service Commission, which plays a complementary, sometimes even a proactive role to the Chapter 9 institutions. And also the fact that when you talk corruption, when you talk service delivery protest and service delivery frustrations, when you talk non-implementation of policies and many other things, it boils down to, does the state have the capacity through its public service?
Mm.
So Public Service Commission is empowered not only to investigate improprieties in public service, but also to do everything, including some policy proposals for adoption by Parliament or executive to deal with some of these weaknesses. So to me, I do think that the first one is publicity, so that everybody knows, not just in the urban areas, but in various languages in our areas. The second one is to balance between investigations of single cases and simply re-engineering, professionalizing public service, because there you may be dealing with each complaint. If we don't see the systematic expression of these, the structural weaknesses in order to change policies, then you will be busy cleaning the drops falling on the floor instead of simply fixing the roof.
Yeah, and making sure that you close that leakage. Now, we know some of the institutions that are geared towards keeping an eye on the state and how it functions over the last 10 or so years. We can talk about the weakening of capacity in some of those institutions. We have even seen in recent days a member of the National Prosecuting Authority being arrested. And this talks to, you know, the availability of willing and, people to collaborate with the wrongdoing, to be part and parcel of the internal weakening of the institutions. Are you worried that perhaps the structuring of the PSC itself has been weakened over time and there may be additional capacity that you need, or you feel that, in fact, the PSC has remained quite outside of those state institutions that were weakened over the years?
There is no institution of state that remained immune from the weakening, because this had become an institutional culture which no institution would escape. For example, the political deployments of people, sometimes because of loyalty, because instead of competency, would have affected even the PSC itself. Would have affected even the Chapter 9 institutions themselves.
Yes.
So we shouldn't assume that there would be no weaknesses, but what is key for PSC, as the one that sets standards, it ought to be a trailblazer. It ought to be on a cutting edge and be an example of such values and principles. And also, the resources can never be sufficient. You might have heard Public Protector, you might have heard NPA and many others complaining about the lack of resources, Human Rights Commission, because the scale of challenges we face as people try to enjoy and explore the democratic moment to their advantage, raising issues that affect them, they come to these institutions, because going to lawyers at times can be a very expensive exercise that deter people. So these ones, which can do at no cost, tend to be flooded. That is the reason why then, one, to strengthen PSC is not only to strengthen its own internal systems, but have strategic partnerships and have common purpose. For example, universities and many other training institutions which train those who will become public servants, which sometimes do the in-service training, schools, business schools, schools of governance, and so forth. You could be talking to them, enter into partnership on what exactly are the things you have observed and how they should, in the production of these, begin to look into some of the issues. Let me give you one simple example. It has become clear now, I raised this matter with Professor Nkuhlu, with the then AG Nombembe and Makwetu, that we ought to be asking ourselves if even the auditors, the audit firms, are in this stew of corruption. What are we teaching them in the business schools? Everybody wants to be a CEO, a CFO, a DG. They tend to say, I have an MBA, as if that is the passage to these positions. Then we ought to go back and say, how do we infuse values, principles, ethics in that training instead of it just being a technical issue? So, because of that, you need those partnerships. Then you go to the professional bodies, your health professionals council, your psyche, and so forth for the accounting fields, and say, in the field that you have, what could we do such that you tighten up things and your practitioners no longer have even the temptation to do wrong. You raise the bar. If you do that in a smart manner, then you will go ahead. But the last one on the same strengthening, COVID-19 kicking and screaming has forced us into the fourth industrial revolution using virtual platforms. How does that affect e-governance, e-learning, e-commerce? And how does that in turn impact on the regulatory framework? How do you do performance assessment of a person who is staying at home because of the chronic illness conditions? That has changed so many things, which means PSC working with the Department of Public Service and Administration, working with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, should be able to say, let's revisit our assumptions, which assume that people will be physically in some space.
In fact, I'm glad you raised this, and I wanted you to have enough time to ventilate on it, because there's been a great deal of distance between what we may call the intellectual training institutions and the state, to a point where it seems as if relationships are at times quite antagonistic, where intellectuals in societies are seen as an opposition to some of those people who are in power. I mean, at some point, the term clever blacks was trending, not because it was really a celebration of clever black people, but it was actually to problematize them and how they were approaching the political class. Do you think, coming from an academic background, you have a bit of more capital to try and close this gap that is between the intellectual intellectual cohort class or people and those who are in state power?
In fact, I have signaled to my colleagues that that is one of the core areas, because you ought to focus on the training and research, which will be along the same lines of looking at the same problems. As PSC, you would never have that kind of research capacity, nor even training capacity. And of course, you work with the National School of Government in its training program, so that we have a seamless collaboration in dealing with these issues, but also in making sure that the intellectual project is not a threat to the state, but it raises the mirror to the state. When you see a mirror in the morning, you have two options. If you see the unsightly blemishes in your eyes, you look at the mirror, you thank the mirror and go wipe your eyes. Or you may go look for a very strong brick and break the mirror so that it doesn't inconvenience you going forward. So that I've come from the academic background since late 80s.
Yeah.
And have been exposed to different universities here and abroad. And also that I have, during that period, worked in the public sector. I was the founding CEO of the National Heritage Council and the head of its heritage. I chaired several boards. So I pretty much know the practical and the policy dimension, as I know the scholarship dimension, and their mutual relationship, if well managed.
Yeah. I'm in conversation with Prof. Somadod Afikeni. Of course, he's a commissioner at the Public Service Commission, and just taking us through on the role of the Public Service Commission and some of the ideas he has on how to best reposition this institution that is so critical to the functioning of our public service and the state at large. That line is 0861-987-000. If you have any thoughts or comments to share with him, and of course, you can tweet me at Lukonamnguni, #PowerTalk. Now, Prof, yeah, when you talk about research, there's a lot of work you do insofar as grievances that are lodged with the commission, insofar as some of the standing reports that the commission issues analyzing the functionality of the states, from questions of appointments, people, whether they are still disclosing or not disclosing. One might ask, what is the usefulness of these reports and what power do you have to enforce some of the recommendations you make when it comes to the findings that you would have encountered?
Well, how we work is that once we see something wrong, we investigate, we write recommendations. That's where the weakness comes. Because a recommendation is merely a recommendation. It can be taken, it may not be taken, but we do have the powers to write those recommendations and take them to the minister concerned, or to the president, or to parliament.
Yes.
Primarily, parliament, well functioning, would make sure that they don't let off the hook any minister or department who has not implemented those recommendations.
Mm.
And also, we could do some advocacy in terms of your lifestyle audits being implemented rather than just being proposed. So that in itself, I think it is a very important step that we should be taking into account. There is a legislation which will be out for public comment.
Yeah.
On some of the reviews and the reforms of the public sector. And that in itself, that's where we should be looking at the same situation as the AG, where you deal with making sure that recommendations are given an added punch where people cannot simply ignore those if they feel uncomfortable with them.
Now, of course, this is an important issue because it says you do your work and then those who decide not to follow through on your recommendations can actually, you know, just not be taken to task. Do you ever find instances where you think the commission should pursue other avenues, including taking some people who fail to implement these recommendations, probably to court, just to force them to play their role?
Well, we do have MOUs with several entities, your NPA, your public protector, your human rights commission, and so forth. So we do have a range of options, and also working with the ministers or with parliament. But whatever the case might be, if the three branches of government, the legislature, the executive, and the judiciary are working well, our work becomes a lot more easier. But if you take something to parliament, for example, and you may find that it is not followed through, then our work would be as difficult. Just like some people would take certain things to court, because of the caseload, the case takes 3-4 years, especially when you have somebody being paid, staying at home. Something that we're grappling with to make sure that it doesn't continue, because it has cost the state so much. When somebody is in a balcony or a veranda somewhere not adding anything, then you have to put somebody to act and pay that person. So to me, I would say effectiveness of PSC, yes, could improve. But through these partnerships and the effective working of the three branches of government, and not only government though, civil society as well, raising their voice to say there was that report which indicated that some people are still doing business, public servants doing business with government and with their departments at times. In that way, whenever ministers are visiting or political leaders are visiting, they keep raising those issues. So it takes like a working clock, every wheel turning, touching the other in order for everything to turn around.
In fact, you were just talking now about how COVID-19 has almost pivoted us into this fourth industrial revolution, sort of making a lot of issues working digitized and all of that. But it seems as if there are also just data tracking or tracing weaknesses within the state. I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult to identify that this company is associated with a particular civil servant at a directorship level or otherwise, and that it should be just on a banned list with doing business with the state. Are you looking at improving technologies that make it easier for some of the issues you are talking to be practically possible within the ecosystem of governance?
most of these technologies are already there. What is not there sometimes is the will. Some call it the political will to get them implemented. Mm-hmm. For example, why would it be a problem if somebody is found guilty in one department or is fired, suspended? If you were to have a centralized biometric system where you put your fingerprints in a centralized system, such that when you reappear in another province, you do not rely on the executive search companies, which can have subjective weaknesses because they are also hoping to get the next tender in the same institution or they are under pressure. But if you centralize that information, all you do, you bring a person to a central station where they put their fingers, even if now every interview, every recommendation has taken place to say this is the last hurdle. You put that fingerprint, it shows everything that a Lukona or a Fikeni has done before.
Yeah. Prof, please just hold those thoughts. We'll come back to you just now after news headlines.
Power Talk with Lukona Mguni. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Good morning. Welcome back. Of course, we continue this conversation with Prof. Somadoda Fikeni in his capacity as Commissioner at the Public Service Commission, looking into the Public Service Commission, what it does, how it can do its work better, and what he's probably going to be focusing on in the next 5 years as part of the team driving this institution in our country. Prof. Fikeni, I'm going to just have some callers joining us on the line, so please do listen in. Let's go to Siyabonga first. Siyabonga, good morning.
Good morning, Velase, now Professor.
Morning, Baba.
Thank you. Morning.
You know, the level of incompetency and unprofessionalism, incapacitated people in the public services is shocking. You know? And I wonder if Prof will be able to remedy this predicament. Mm. If you as an institution are really also suffering from the same sickness, and I'm saying this because just after your appointment, you were interviewed by Mrio Sanyani on Power Week, and I wrote you as an institution a request to lodge a complaint against the Department of Labor and UIF. To this day, Lukona, I have not received even an acknowledgement of my email.
Mm.
So I'm asking myself that if they themselves as an institution, they really suffering from the same sickness, how are they going to correct the situation in the public service?
No, I hear you, and I think that's a well-raised issue, Siyabonga, there in Ritz joining us. Khupulang, good morning.
Hi, Lukona and Prof. There's something that has been bothering me for over 10 years.
Yeah.
The Z83. This document that you must complete, and you print pages, you print your ID, you print your all these documents, you have them certified, you staple them, you send them, and after that, you're not even shortlisted yet.
Mm.
You know, and Prof was just talking about that the technology is there, that why can't we have a portal where we log in, we put in our ID numbers, and we state what certificates we have. If it's university, the system can check with university if this person with this ID number has been registered and has a degree at this university.
Mm.
And those kind of things are easy wins, you know, for the public service administration.
Mm.
But it's not being done. You know, if you think about a less fortunate person who sees four posts that they need to apply for, them needing to make copies, one rand a copy each,
yeah,
you know, they end up spending 70 rand for something where they might not be even shortlisted. If they do it online with their cell phone, they can be asked after they are shortlisted that bring these documents to the interview.
Yes.
So that we can verify. But this thing, I mean, if you think about how many pages annually that are printed by people who are applying for positions in government, if you take 500,000 copies and multiply it by 2 rands per copy, that is how much money people are losing for just applying in government, and something needs to be done about this. They can learn from the Gauteng government. Gauteng government is doing these things online. Why can't the rest of the country do it online?
Okay, Khubulang.
You know, something simple.
Thank you very much there for that question. Let's go to Lotta before I give Prof a chance to have his say. Lotta, good morning.
Makwenze Kotuga in Khadu. How are you this morning?
We are very well. How are you?
Yes, good, thanks. Look, I think the colleagues have covered me, but what they have not touched on, there's always been a policy issue within the public service that whenever officials are charged with corruption, they resign and that disappear. Those cases do not follow them, and they actually disappear once they've handed in their resignation letter. That cannot be on. This is public money.
I'm going
to leave it there.
I hear you, Lotta. Prof, some very important issues being raised, and I want to stress the one on, you know, raising a point with the commission. I know in KZN, I once wrote to the provincial commissioner's office on a complaint I had with a particular hospital there, and I just never got a response.
Well, thank you very much, Lukona. As I indicated that even Public Service Commission wouldn't necessarily be an oasis of perfection. But what the caller is raising is very important. And I will, as such, before we end, send you the contact numbers, including the email in my office, so that we can make a follow-up on that. And I really am sorry that you would not even have an acknowledgement, because our policy is to say the first thing, even before you know what you're going to do with a complaint, let the person know that you have received it. And if there are delays, update the person that the matter is still being attended. We have a backlog, if any. But that you wouldn't have anything is quite disappointing. So I wouldn't even defend that and come up with some complicated reasons, because it is when we get into these institutions and lose common sense and start defending everything instead of just working on correcting them. So that's the first one. The second one, precisely the point that we're working on to say this Z83 is so archaic, and PSC is among those which are agitating for the change, and as such, they are proposing moving online. Because if you have a country with such high levels of unemployment, the worst thing you do is to make them travel, change transport just to submit these papers. And the stack of these papers demand a warehouse where you keep them. They get lost, they can be stolen, and they can be replaced. And that in itself, I think it's so 20th century to be putting up a file of papers when you could do this thing online and then emphasize on those you are shortlisting or for more documents and so forth. So to me, I do think that the caller is spot on and we're on the same page as, you know, the caller. Especially in the era where technology has to be utilized and we must get comfortable with technology.
Yes.
Remember that by March last year, very few people knew that the country and the world could function without necessarily people going to the offices. That families could hold meetings on Zoom and other platforms. And guess what? When circumstances force you, especially a crisis creates opportunities. Most inventions and solutions that come, they come on the back of a crisis. Yes.
Okay, Prof, let us go to the Val. Lebo, good morning.
Good morning to your guest. Mine is simple. It's actually a comment.
Yeah.
To Ntatesoma Tota Fikeni, that look, I'm glad that he is there serving in our state machinery. But we need more people of his caliber. And even if it's not people who are from the academic background and so forth, but people who are capable, you know, people who are willing. So I wish he could instill or contribute in instilling the mentality of delivery and development more than just compliance on the side of public servants, you know. Yeah, so because I've been following him, especially from transitioning from Indlulamithi into the state machinery. So he's one of the people that I admire so much. But just in closing, I can say, you know, our state does not have, we don't have a common purpose in South Africa. And the state does not have specific objectives. Even if you can look at the NDP, it's, I don't call it the National Development Plan. I call it the National Development Idea. It's just an idea because the plan is details. But I leave it to us as a society to give it detail as to what should it mean to us as a society. Because even if you can go to China, as you read communism, they say communism is communism. But when you go to China, they say no, in Chinese characteristics. In other words, they give it context to what it means to them. So in closing, I can say we need, as a society, to develop these specific objectives. And I'm grateful that we have Ntate Somathotafikeng so that he can give a direction or contribute in giving direction to the state machinery, which when it comes to direction, to me, it's paralyzed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tsepang, good morning.
Thanks for taking my call, Lukon, and morning to Prof there.
Morning.
Morning.
Prof, you know, our problems are getting even bigger because the criminals in the government systems are also getting smarter. And I'm raising this because we at NAFCOC Northwest, we have established that delay in paying service providers is caused by senior officials in government, whether local or provincial or national, who have vested interest in certain companies. So if my company is not aligned to any senior official, my payments will be deliberately delayed as a service provider. But those who are aligned to this officials, they are always paid on time because these officials are benefiting from. And the reality is that some of these officials, they actually are owners of these businesses, but they have other people as proxies. So they don't appear in your registration documents. So you won't find them, but they are actually effectively owning these companies. So that's the problem that we have, Prof. And I hope at some point the PAC and other institutions will find a way to counter this because it's really, really killing the emerging enterprises.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tsepang. I mean, Prof, that last point, a serious issue which keeps coming up, the backlog in the payment of service providers and how this kills even what we talk about, the centrality of small, medium, micro enterprises to the development of our economy.
In fact, it's worse than that. If you look at the failed small black businesses, which ought to be empowered through government procurements, most of them, the fingerprints of their death is through delays of payments. That is why PSC has made the issue of timeous payment a priority, and we have even put a proposal to say, those people who, without any genuine reason, who delay the payment, the monies delayed with interest should be, I mean, the interest should be extracted from their own salaries. Then you'll begin to see things moving. You may think there is madness here. There is a method in this madness where people try to frustrate people until they are surrendering into giving bribes. And that in itself is wrong.
Mm.
PSC itself, on average, made sure that whoever procures with PSC, on average, if every document is in place, they are paid within 7 days. We just had two exceptions recently, and even there, the managers concerned had to be approached for an explanation. So that in itself, I think to me, there are two things which government ought to do well. You find many buildings that belong to government. They are never sold. They are never upgraded. They are never used. So that creates urban decay in the hands of government.
Mm.
Similarly, the death of the small black businesses in the era of unemployment when people are looking for livelihoods. And that in itself, to me, it cannot be that government becomes a leader in the destruction of the very policy of black empowerment that they are propagating, or any business for that matter, because when service has been rendered, it ought to be, you know, paid.
Mm.
And then the next part, we released a document which indicated that people are doing business with government and yet they are civil servants. We pointed out statistics per province.
Yes.
And these were not just looking at the individual concerned, but those around them who may be relatives and so forth, where they benefit. This would work better if you also had a lifestyle audit. You can't have a 7 million house in Umhlanga and yet you are an assistant director and we can't correlate your business and the income you are having, and you have no other business that you are running. So those things, the sooner they are implemented, the better. And the last point which Lebo had raised.
Yes.
I think he raised a very fantastic point in saying service delivery where we can see results. We become a country of conformance instead of performance.
Mm.
Many people think that when you have a clean audit and you say, I've not stolen any money, therefore sometimes you have not even used that money for what it was intended, therefore you need to be given full bonus. But the reality is that in the first place, we can't be bribing people for not stealing money. They ought not to have stolen it in the first place. We ought to be incentivizing people for saying they implemented what was supposed to be implemented and people can feel the impact positively of their implementation because of the mandate of their institution. But right now we've degenerated to a point where people put in the attendance of meetings, which sometimes is a nuisance because we're an over-conferenced and an over-workshopped country. Mm. We even give different nicknames to these meetings whenever we want to run away from offices. So to me, I do think that even auditors ought to emphasize, instead of reconciling whether money has been used or not, what was the intention of creating this institution?
Mm.
Is it doing what it is supposed to do such that people begin to feel the impact of that institution? That is, to me, the primary determinant of success or failure of the money, not whether people have stolen or not.
Absolutely.
Because they ought not to have stolen in the first place.
I am going to come back to that point of thinking, Prof, but let me just take Joshua so that he has a chance to put his view to you. Joshua, good morning.
Good morning, Putilkon. How are you?
Very well. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Maniputi. My name is Prof. You know what, our administration is very, very poor. But I'm happy if Prof had been there as our commissioner now. The problem is administration, Putilikon. Administration is not up to date. That is why now you will find that somebody will lead us. But there is a policy of this department, there is an act, there is a regulation.
Mm.
But everything is not done accordingly, Putilikon. And then at the end of the day, we expect a good product. And then this thing, Butulukona, is more than 15 years or 10 years now. As listeners are commenting here, Butulukona, if we got no right administration, we can't be having a good success and everything, because everything is not done according to the policies and regulation and everything. And the problem is people who are changing from here and to here don't even giving handing over to each other in the right way. And then we become now out of order. Everything, if it's at the top, is out of order. All of us will be out of order. Put the look on. Can't you put the look on?
Thank you. Thank
you. Like now, our agreement now, put the look on, which has been agreed for 3 years. We have agreed for the first year and second year of the salaries of the government employees. But at the third year, somebody coming and saying that thing is unlawful. How can we do something for two consecutive years and at the third year is unlawful, that thing?
Okay, Joshua, I've got you. Thank you very much. Prof, what Joshua is saying dovetails with a list of questions sent to me by Jerry on Twitter, saying I should ask you the unnecessary use of consultants in public service. What is it that you are going to do to deal with that? And of course, the turnaround time in filling positions in the public service. And of course, we spoke about the Z83 form and doing away with it in terms of the increase in cost of looking for work, even within government institutions.
The first one, the one of the turnaround in filling posts, is crucial, and we've written a report to that effect. And we have given it to both Parliament and the responsible departments to say that we can no longer have a situation which sometimes is caused by the fact that somebody has been suspended for wrongdoing.
Mm.
They stay at home for years and the positions are not filled. It should be clear if there is something which says there is a moratorium, there is no money and so forth, so that you know it's 2-3 years, and this is how you are going to distribute responsibilities. And that in itself, I think it is very, very important, the filling of posts. But again, the patronage system where people were being put in because they have to come and service their patronage networks rather than because they were competent, does create a situation where people, when they have not yet found the right person to service them, I wouldn't even call it cadre deployment, which is a nomenclature that is used, because those people are not cadres. They are simply loyalists to a particular patronage network. And so it is giving cadreship a bad name. Some are sent because of factional loyalty. Some are sent because they have to be a conduit for stealing public resources. Yep. So that in itself, I do think that it's some of the cancer that we should actually be fighting in most instances. And the issue of the public administration and its weaknesses, and the importance of the documents which will be circulated to the public for comment in order to change the professionalization, where merit and competency are key, is so important, Lukona, that when we did studies at Indlulamithi, we realized that the inequality we have, the crisis we have, the resentment, the resistance we have, and the yearning for social cohesion or nation building can never take place on the back of a weak state.
Yeah.
Now, the weak state could come in different forms. It could be political leadership weaknesses, and it could be in a form of public service capacity. Of course, this institutional capacity is manifest in other private sector and other institutions, as you see the Steinhoff and others, as you see Bosasa and so forth. So it's not just confined to the public sector, but the public sector ought to be a driver in changes, as we've seen in the Asian Tigers, as we've seen elsewhere and so forth. It is for that reason that I decided to join the Public Service Commission, because the professionalization and building of that capacity, if I put my shoulder on the wagon in that effort, can help us such that when our politics collapse to a level of coalition, you have seen how unstable, how unpredictable, how volatile coalitions have been at local level. You have seen in other countries like Israel, where governments are changed, they hold elections, they are about to hold maybe the fifth election in a space of, 3 years?
Yeah.
So that in itself means the reason they continue to function is because they have professionalized public service.
Yes.
So when politics are still staggering, still trying to find their feet, the world doesn't come to an end. But once you fuse public service and politics, when you have challenges at a political level, it will afflict the public service and the whole system will unravel.
Now, Prof, in that vein, when you talk to those issues, I'm reminded of Lotta's question talking about a lack of consequences where people are allegedly having done wrong, they simply resign and the cases never follow them. How do we strengthen that?
I think I'm sorry that I missed on answering that one. We are discussing mechanisms of making sure that your tail follows you wherever you go.
Mm.
You won't just resign and disappear. The first thing, if you have caused any financial losses, monies ought to be recovered from your pensions, from your other wealth or whatever. And even if you get into another job, the recovery of funds ought to take place.
Mm.
And it is precisely that point that people have thought that the easiest escape route is just to resign when you realize that the dice are falling against you.
Absolutely.
But we should acknowledge, though, that there are certain things which are beginning to happen, Lukona.
Yes.
For example, the judiciary has realized that people who were using lawyers spending millions, even when it was on irrational basis for personal protection, that cover is beginning to fall away as people now are given the personal costs to pay.
Yeah, Prof,
rather than the state.
I'm almost out of time. I just want you to give me those contact details that you promised, because we definitely need to have a round two of this conversation.
Yes, I'll just send them to you, and perhaps you can just announce them.
I'll get you to send them, probably also if you have them at hand, to my producers, and then they will capture them and we'll be able to announce them. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Okay, that's Prof. Soma Dodafigeni there telling us and taking us through the work of the Public Service Commission.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.